Hello and welcome to Monday Business. I am Farah Bashir and joining me is...
Richard Fitzgerald, yeah, Smashy Business Show, Monday the 8th of July. Welcome everyone.
Well, I can't believe it's already July. It's like running, days are running, but let's go quickly.
H2, yeah, 2024. What are the headlines today?
So we're going to be talking about Qatar launching a $5.5 billion mega park that is supposedly going to be bigger than Disney.
And Simaisa, is that how you pronounce it? The Simaisa project.
Simaisa, I think.
Simaisma, that's it. Yeah.
We want someone from Qatar to tell us what is it going to be called, Simaisa. And later on, we're going to talk about Armani and Dior bags. Cost only $60 to make. However, they're sold at $2,600 amid labor exploitation raids. And we're going to talk about Abu Dhabi's Alpha Data considers $200 million IPO, which is all honestly very exciting. So good morning to everyone who is
Good morning.
Watching
you know,
us.
We obviously want to talk about business, and we will in the headlines. But don't you feel that like sport and travel takes over the summer as much as? Yeah. As much as we really, you know, businesses, there's IPOs happening, there's transactions, there's trade, there's tourism, and you can look at it. But I don't know about you, Farah, but like the sporting world is just, there's just so much happening at the moment.
That's
there's,
true.
You know, F1, there's Wimbledon, there's big events in Europe. You know, we have the Euro Cup, the Euros, we have in the US, we just had the cricket. We've had now the Copa America has been hosting in Northern America. And then we have the Olympics coming up. The Olympics is every 4 years, and it feels like it's a comeback year. It feels like, you know, the last Olympics was done kind of pandemic in Tokyo with no fans, and we haven't had like a huge Olympic celebration. And Paris is a beautiful, sunny place, and you know, it's an amazing place. So just like London 2012, and then there was Rio in 2016, they were huge carnival things, but we haven't really had an Olympics like that in 8 years. And last Friday, you and I discussed on the show the eSports World Cup. So it's just, it's all about sport at the moment, which is amazing. And then obviously there's a lot of travel. There's people going on holidays and things like that, schools out and that. So as much as we want to talk about, and we can talk about the business of those things, but what's dominating our minds and hearts at the moment is definitely travel and sport.
Do you think it's coming home?
Well, that song, you know, I took some friends and clients to the event, to the Love in Dubai, our media partners of the Agenda, a venue in Dubai Media City for the Euros, and it was packed, like about 5,000 people there on Saturday night, and a lot of the team went on Friday, the night that the other quarterfinals were taking place, like Portugal, Spain, France, and Germany and all. And anyway, I went to the England game, and I was telling people like what year that song came out, and it was 1996. I remember buying it on a CD, on a cassette, as a single in 1996, along with a Backstreet Boys single. I should really admit that. This is even before like really CDs were big. So yeah, I remember that song really well. And do I think it's coming home? Who knows, right? Like we're having a big, you know, the further England, especially in F&B and Love in Dubai, the further England get in tournaments, the better it is for business. So I, you know, it's good that the bars and the places, the F&B that do need footfall, and they do spend a lot of money in high in the getting these big TV screens and fitting out these aircon places. So it's good that they're busy, and you know, good luck to them.
That is true. By the way, like a lot of people would go for the experience. Like a lot of people, like including me, I would go for the experience. Now I've seen a lot of penalties were there. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you know, you get theoretical about football, but like the top goal scorers in the tournament have 3 goals, and they're not famous players really. Apart, Gapko is a bit, but the second joint top scorer is a guy for Georgia, and like there haven't been that many goals. It's not free from football. The Germany Spain game was good. It was a bit open, but you know, you can get theoretical about it. I agree. You know, even though the Swiss England game was a bit stagnant and not free-flowing football, the experience was so nice that the 7 or 8 people that I had with me were enthralled until the shootout. And you know, there were some people from America, there were some people from the region, and they weren't really watching it. They're more trying to have a conversation, but the music was so loud. And they were playing all these, like, shout out to Tim Derry, who's a DJ there. He's always been involved in a lot of these projects, and he was doing all these like retro songs, the coming home songs. So good atmosphere, good product. But yeah, I think there's something for everything. And you know, we will be documenting mainly on Lovin', but also on Smashy Sports, a lot of what's happening in Paris. You know, we are seeing people from Palestine qualify for the Olympics, and you know, there'll be UAE flag will be there in very soon now. It should be next week, right?
I mean, honestly, I felt I had a lot of FOMO seeing everyone, you know, at I would say like having fun, because like again, as you said, it's all about the vibes, and me, I really like benefiting out of the like the Euro Cup and so on, which is very exciting at this point. And it's very, I would say, just like makes me feel like, you know, like even if you do not understand football, however, like those F&B places and restaurants,
yeah, they're doing well. You know, I used to go to these tournaments in my 20s, and I used to think like that. I used to think like FOMO and travel and fun. And you know, when the penny switched for me, when I became an entrepreneur and I was even more focused, any time I go to a sporting event and I'm not benefiting from it commercially, or media, or audience, I'm not interested.
I mean, this is the CEO point of view.
It is, but it's also a mindset. It's also a mindset. Like, some of this stuff is escapism. Like, so some of these games go on to 2 or 3 in the morning. Yeah. And if you're trying to get up and train, if you're trying to learn, if you're trying to have better health and better life, it's not actually that good. So, you know, there's no reason to have FOMO for people who's who are tired and who are unhealthy, and you know, why does it looks like it's a good time, but is it?
Is it really a good time?
Is it really a good time if you're not really progressing and learning and looking after your health? And having said that as well, like you know, we briefly touched on this with the esport and the movement into indoor sports, and I've just been seeing like, it's, you know, a lot more active people being active indoor over the summer in Dubai. Like, Love in Dubai are going to partner with the Danube Sports World. We're about to announce that. But there's also the Sports World Center down in DWTC every summer. There's other people. Ravi from Duplays is building his own, that we'll announce soon, his own a huge big indoor sports facility. There's a lot being built in Saudi, a lot being built across the region, and the gyms have kind of taken off, and the different classes have taken off, and the businesses around that, like ClassPass is doing really well. They bought GuavaPlus out in 2019, and they now have a monopoly on this space. Gyms are building their own apps. Like this sort of class ecosystem, the gyms, the developments in the different communities. You know, we talked before, Emar are launching their own suite of gyms called Neo for lifestyle and livability. Mohammed Al-Abar has said that lifestyle is the new whatever. Like, it's a new thing. It's a new,
that is true.
It's a new thing that we care about. So yeah, so you kind of have to think about it from a commercial point of view, because, you know, it's good for us. It's good for our health. But yeah. You know, and well done to the F&B places capitalizing on escapism and, you know, stuff
but,
like that.
But Richard, I have a question, because you did say that, you know what, if you're not benefiting, you're not going to go. So what is one advice as an entrepreneur you would give to people who would want to become an entrepreneur?
The mindset, your brain. Like, it's just an outlook of the world. That's why education is so important. You know, when we interview people, we ask them what they study. Okay, you have the discipline to get a degree, but also what did they study? Like, how does their mind tick over? If you have 4 years of engineering, your mind is going to think like an engineer.
That's
if you have 4 years like media, artistic, creative, you're thinking laterally. If you have 4 years of law, you're thinking a certain way.
True.
4 years of journalism, you'll ask me a question like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's just that sort of thing. And I think that's how our brains sort of work with education. And it's what we put into our brains and things like that. But I think it's growth mindset, right? Like, if people are fixed mindset, they always think they're tired. They always think the world's against them. They always think they need a drink. They always think they need a holiday. They always think they need a break. You don't actually need a break.
That's true.
You know, our minds want to be fed good information, and our minds have amazing capacity to learn, and our bodies actually want to be fed nutrient things. They don't actually want to be fed cheat days or snacks. That's just weird marketing thing going on. Your body actually doesn't like the horrible stuff.
I mean,
your mind does.
I agree with you, but I kind of like not agree with you at the same time.
Because, of course,
you know, of course, you guys. I mean, because I'll tell you something, Rich, you know, as disciplined as I am, sometimes I feel like I would want a day where like I'm just like being like all over the place.
That's because someone painted a picture in some marketing or some feed or something that told you that that's good. And it's not.
No, I mean, I don't know. I need it. I need, like, you know, like days where, like, I'm eating whatever I want. I'm having the worst meal. I'm having.
Keep telling yourself that.
I mean, could be.
Be happy. Each to their own.
That is true. However, I really feel like, I don't know, because, like, I am more of, like, I do change my mind a lot. And I feel like as well, however, I am fixed on some things.
Yeah. Look, everyone's different. It's just, the tagline of Smashy is for the driven, the dreamers, and the doers. And we want to tell stories to inspire people.
But do you change your mind a lot, Rich? That's the question. You do.
But that's a positive. Mm. You have to change your mind a lot. If you're not changing your mind, you're not learning.
You're not learning.
Qatar, Sim Mais Ma.
Yes.
What I loved about this, Farah, is that it's 40 minutes north of Doha, right? And people who know, like, Qatar, you know, originally was going to be one of the Emirates. Mm-hmm. It's small, right? But obviously they've got liquid nitrogen gas, and they've got a huge economy, and they've pulled off amazing world events like the World Cup and others. But Doha itself is where most of the development has taken place. Even most of the 8 stadiums that were built for FIFA 2022 are in and around Doha. Anyway, out of nowhere, $5.5 billion project just announced, 40 minutes down north the coast, 7-kilometer, 1 beachfront. You know, and Dubai just announced another beachfront in Jebel Ali, like just like they built JBR. But this one is a beachfront. It's 650,000 square meter theme park. You know, we've got Qiddiya in Saudi, the Six Flags one. We don't have a Disney in the region, but we've got Warner Brothers in Abu Dhabi. We've got IMG Worlds, and we've got many other water parks and stuff like that. Qatar DR, they're the subsidiary of Qatar's Sovereign Wealth Fund, is currently in talks with 7 international operators to manage this amusement park. That's a key part of this story because they bid for it. So, and managers like a hotel, Six Flags is huge in America, and they won the bid to manage the Qiddiya project. So who's going to come in here? It might even be Disney. We don't know. An 18-hole golf course, 300 luxury villas, a marina and a beach club, retail shops, and they wanted to contribute 12% to the country's GDP by 2030. Yes. Huge announcement, huge project, very promising.
I mean, honestly, I really think that it's going to be as big, if not bigger than Disney, because this is done by Qatar, and we all know how Qatar's economy is really doing well, and how this project is, by the way, like, expected to contribute to 12% of its GDP, and of course it will increase the tourism and so on. So its economy, of course, is going to be, I would expect, and I think is going to be better at this point, because like it's not like a small number, you know, 12% is a lot. Yeah. And we all the time see the number of 2030, the year 2030. It's we've heard it for Saudi Arabia, UAE, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, it is amazing, really, for the region. I hope these things work in time. Like, you know, they say that the Euro Disney project in Paris took 10 years to be successful. To buy parks and resorts, I didn't mention it, but it's taken a while to kind of take off. But I do think some of these places probably need indoor offering as well. Second story, bags, handbags. Mm. So recent investigations in Italy have uncovered shocking details about the production cost. Dior reportedly pays only $57 to produce handbags, and then they're sold at $2,780 in stores. These stores are expensive for that, obviously. Armani pays suppliers $99, and the bags are retail at over $1,900. They subcontract these manufacturing fire, paying them as little as $2-3 an hour. It doesn't mention kind of where, but obviously we've had this before. There was the famous Naomi Klein book, No Logo, years ago, and it was all about sweatshops, all about Nike. Everyone was held to account, but this is really sort of blown up lately, research out of Paris. What's your take on it?
Okay, so we talked about this on the show, on the morning show with Casey, and I told her that my aunt actually works for, she's a manager at Chanel, and she did actually confirm that the things that we get is made for a much cheaper price, but we do pay for the name. We don't pay for the actual product. Yes, the product might be good quality. However, there are a lot of dupes at much cheaper prices. So we are not paying the actual product. it's way cheaper. There, it's done like in a, for like for much cheaper, for like €53, according to the documents shown. However, with the exploitation that's happening, we have seen this. It has been brought up several times by several brands, such as Shein, where exploitation is being marked as like, hey, this is an actual thing. And one thing that I noticed is that actual rich people do not care about wearing brands.
Yeah, definitely. But so what's happening here is Italian authorities have uncovered these practices during raids of unauthorized workshops. I think that's the key thing here, right? Not only, you know, markups are markups and business is business, but these are being subcontracted and outsourced. And as a result, the subsidiaries of Dior and Armani, particularly in Italy, have been placed under court supervision for up to a year due to labor law violations. They're breaking the law. You know, if you're not breaking the law, if you're paying for labor that's in line mm-hmm. with the, you know, what's the like minimum wage in those countries, then that's fine. That's just taking advantage of globalization yeah. and different economics and stuff like that, right? Like, we build our Smashy apps with our tech team with Augustus Moss in Egypt, right? And we pay 20-30% above the market rate there, but it's mm-hmm. still less effective to here. But we're in with labor law, you know, everyone gets their social insurance, their medical, and everything like that. But we're just doing it cheaper than here because we can. But there's pros and cons of working in other countries. Then there's other things that these companies do is they don't even take the responsibility of having the company themselves. So they can get into less legal trouble
True.
Because they're not actually committing it. It's the other company who they're paying to do it is committing it. So this is how they cheat a bit. And, you know, even Facebook are guilty of that as well. They subcontract the vetting of their moderation to places in Kenya and stuff like that. So this is one of the sort of dark sides of business that especially often far it comes up in the retail space. Like yeah. you mentioned Shein, but there's also like Zara and there's many others. Yeah. And we mentioned Nike before as well. But yeah.
Would you, after finding out that they do exploit the workers, would you buy from them? Or do you even care about buying a high-end product like Dior?
It's a loaded question. It's sort of like, should I be an activist? Do I think my vote counts with where my dollar goes? Yes, to a degree. But actually, I just trust the regulators. I just trust the government. It's their job. It's the Italy's government job to do what they're doing, and they do what they're doing. I also would try and like... trust that the leaders of these companies are doing things, you know, ethically and impact. And, you know, we say ESG, but Armani and Dior should be run properly and they shouldn't exploit.
Yeah, but you are paying for the name because there are a lot of dupes, you know what I mean? Like a lot of dupes of the fashion, a lot of dupes of the perfumes, a lot of dupes of the even makeup and handbags. It's all over the internet.
Yeah.
So would you rather have a dupe or would you actually buy the actual product?
Yeah, I don't think it really matters. Like, it's just personal consumer materialistic choices. Mm. I don't think it really matters. I'm just more interested in the business story of like how these regulators are stopping this happening, how these companies are run, who's going to hold them to account. Should someone in this company go to jail if they're exploiting, like, you know, is banning the subsidiaries, use subsidiaries for a year enough? Like, should it just be Italy? Do we need a global court on this? Like, all these things are just really super interesting about globalization as well.
Well, let's move on to our next story. So Abu Dhabi's Alpha Data considers a $200 million IPO. So UAE-based IT services company Alpha Data plans to raise nearly $200 million through an IPO on the Abu Dhabi Securities Exchange, ADX, aiming for significant growth and regional market influence. Now, this specifies specifics of the IPO, including share numbers and pricing, are yet to be disclosed. We don't know yet. So the funds are raised may be used for service expansion, acquisitions, and technology investments.
I love this. We don't know of Alpha yes. Data and their IT services. So I love that services companies can go public as well. They're going to be working with Emirates NBD Capital and EFG Hermes, company established in 1981, specialized in digital transformation. So it's like consultancy technologies, including AI, mobility, security, and Internet of Things, IoT, and cloud computing. It's important to note that this planned IPO is separate from the listing of Alpha Dhabi Holding, which took place on June 27, 2021. with 10 billion pre-paid capital. There's been a total of three IPOs in 2024, the largest being 515 million flows of education tech company. So what was that one again? It sounded like Alpha as well. Adelph or something? The education one. Can you remember?
The Alpha Data?
Yeah, so Alpha Data is the one we're talking about now, but which was the education? Aleph. Aleph Education was the highest one. They're all sounding similar. That was the one that went public last month at $515 million.
Yes. And by the way, as well, the IPO is going to be invested in talent acquisition, technological advancements. Of course, this is also maintain, I would say, a competitive edge, which is very exciting, honestly, to see like what is going to be there for that IT services company. They just want to make it better and I would say
and it's good to see that these companies are going public on their own, because up until now IHC has had a lot of these companies together, and even Multiply in the services space, like they have, you know, Viola Communications and Backlight, they bought the out of home services, so and media. So it's good to see that these ones are going public on their own. There's huge interest in AI and data and tech. Like E&, are public, Etisalat, their kind of share price has dropped, but they're down there, they're doing acquisitions, they're doing their stuff as well. We have G42, all part of that Hub 71 initiative, all around AI and data. So great to see. If they go public, there's more transparency, there should be more jobs, there should be more interest in Abu Dhabi.
Yes, exactly. I mean, honestly, like we have, of course, Abu Dhabi is known to be having, I would say, a lot of job opportunities for not only its residents, but it's as well expats, you know. Yeah. And with AI being, I don't know, like the center of attention right now, I would expect out of this great IPO to, I would say, provide a lot of job opportunities for people who are, I would say, more understanding of AI and technology and all of these things. And you could never know. And because, of course, we are still waiting. I'm still waiting for the year 2030. So it's all exciting. And
yeah, you mentioned that year 2030. It is, everything's going the right direction. Dubai itself is having a vision 2033, because that's actually 200 years from the start of Dubai, apparently. I was told over the weekend, from 1833. So they're doing a lot of announcements and projects and consultancy work around that, like the quality of living, the parks, all that stuff. So yeah, it's fascinating. Guys, we're finishing the show now, but we do have the Smashy Business newsletter. I would suggest you guys go and look, check it out and subscribe. It gives you, if you don't have 30 minutes to listen to Farah and I share our wisdoms and thoughts every day, you can get this in sort of a smart brevity way every morning. And one of the headlines from this morning's newsletter was something we published yesterday, is something, a topic I love talking about, Farah, is media.
Of course.
And Shahad has been past Netflix for a while, but Shahad had 4.8 million subscribers.
I love that for them. I mean, I have been, funny because Casey this morning asked me what am I watching on Netflix, and I told her I'm not watching anything. However, on Shahid, I am. And I've been loving Shahid more than Netflix. So.
Yeah, me too. I love it. I did a podcast yesterday and someone said to me, Netflix or YouTube? I said Shahid.
Shahid, literally Shahid. I mean, I love Shahid so much. Yeah. It's like, I love the shows, and it's doing really well.
Yeah, it really is. It's great to see. So good luck to them, and keep going. So that was in the markets. That was in the newsletter, exclusive this morning.
So subscribe to the newsletter if you guys want some exclusive content. That's really cool. And don't forget, we go in podcast form if you missed the show. And that's all from me.
And from me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.